For them to come back, they'll come refreshed and ready to be on fire for God. Amen? Okay. This morning, I would like to... The title of the sermon today is How to Be Encouraged in God. And I'm going to talk to you today on loving the life you live and how to be encouraged in God. Now, don't you love those times in life when you are enjoying God's blessings and experiencing God's joy? Especially when everything seems to be going good, our families reasonably good and happy, our job, we're happy at our job, our health is reasonably good, finances seems to be going okay, we're paying our bills and everything else. We love those times, don't we, when everything seems to be going good. But life is not always like that, is it? Life is not always like that. Because there are those other times when life is really challenging, very challenging. And when we go through a hard time, a very hard time sometimes, when you have to really, really search for happiness and joy. We know there's many people suffering as we speak right now. In fact, if you look at statistics, I love looking at statistics sometimes. I don't use the computer much at all, very rarely. I'm hopeless when it comes to computers. But if I'm looking at some statistics, I would open it up and have a look. And some of the statistics I come across this week, for example, these are in Australia, that in the last 5 years, an average of 2,461 people a year have ended their lives. You've heard right, 2,461 people a year. That's averaging 6 to 9 people a day. There's a lot of people suffering out there, isn't there? A crime is committed every 64 seconds. And I'm not talking about petty crime, shoplifting. I'm talking about serious crimes. Depression, and this came to a very big surprise to me. It might come as a surprise to some of you. Depression affects 1 in every 3 women. That was a big shock to me. Also, it affects 1 in every 5 men. That's a huge number. I've never expected that. And then there's other things in life. There's floods, bushfires, tornadoes, wars, droughts, hunger, terrorism, divorce, so much more that goes on. We can go on and on and on. It is so sad that so many people have a difficult time enjoying life, isn't there? And we don't need to judge depressed people. Never judge anyone who is depressed. Because any number of things can cause a person to the point that they lose hope completely in life. And even those of us, perhaps, who are not depressed at the present moment, we have to admit that there are times when we struggle with maintaining happiness, isn't there? Because it's not always roses. Life is like that. We get our ups, we get our downs. But that's the bad news, if you like. And we got rid of that very quickly. I don't like bad news. Though we live in this world, then we have to face these things. But the good news is that God's word gives us insight into our human condition. And it offers us tremendous help to deal with our battle to stay encouraged. So we're going to look at 2 Samuel first, chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. Okay, that's 2 Samuel, chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our Lord? The Bible teaches... Now, that's, of course, as we saw there, his ways are perfect. We don't want to forget that his ways are perfect. They're flawless. His word is a shield. And the Bible teaches that God intends for you to enjoy life. Did you know that? God intends for you to enjoy life. You don't have to let life's challenges discourage you. Life's challenges will always discourage us. But we don't have to let them discourage us. Because God wants to help you face life with confidence. He wants you to be encouraged, and he wants you to have a happy life. Let's look at Romans chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. That's Romans chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scripture, we might have hope. And verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. Everything that was written, it was written to teach us, to encourage us, and to give us hope. And I'm not preaching this morning. I hope you don't take me wrong, that once you become a Christian, or you come to know the Lord, or you accept Jesus in your life, I'm not saying that everything is going to be sweet. You know, some people maybe preach that way, that once you give your life to the Lord, you're not going to lack anything. Yes, God provides. But things will still happen. We live in a fallen world, and things still happen. What I'm saying here, that God wants to help you stay encouraged in spite of your trouble, in spite of what you're facing, God wants us to stay encouraged. You know, there are many verses of scripture that tells us that God wants you to have joy and to enjoy life. So let's read a couple of scriptures now. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. 'Commend those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment.' So you don't have to feel guilty about enjoying God's blessings. That's what he gives them for. He gives us blessings so we can enjoy them. You know, I know people, maybe you know too, who feel guilty if they having a nice meal somewhere in a restaurant with lots of food, banquet, with a nice drink. They feel very guilty because they say, well, I've got all this food I can't even eat. And yet there's so many people who are hungry around the world. And start focusing on those in the world who perhaps are starving, rather than enjoying God's blessing. If God is giving you a meal like that, a wonderful meal, a banquet, that's God's blessing. Enjoy it. Because they feel, well, I shouldn't have so much food here. How come these people are starving, and yet I've got all this food in front of me? So they feel guilty all the time, guilty in everything they do. Every blessing they receive from God, they see that as guilty. My mom used to remind us of that all the time. She used to say, you better eat all your food. If you leave any food on that plate, that's a sin. You can't leave any food. She used to say, God provided you with that meal, you better eat it all and not leave any in the plate. Now, one thing about my mother, as most of you know, mom had 12 kids, and mom and dad, 14 of us. And mom would share the food, everyone, my dad first and then the kids. And she would be last. If there's none left, she wouldn't have any. But she knew there's always going to be left over. So she'll be going around and eating everyone's left over. That's how she was. So sometimes you almost felt guilty saying, I'm seeing mom, she's not eating and everyone else is eating. So I better leave some in the plate. Because we knew that she would go. There was times when she ate with us, yes. But there was times when there wasn't enough food to go around for 14 people. So she was always last. If there was none left, there was none left. That's She didn't. But it's God's blessings. Enjoy it. Whatever God blesses you with, enjoy it. Don't feel guilty. We don't need to feel guilty when God blesses us. Let's have a look at John chapter 10, verse 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's amazing. That's God's heart to bless us. Jesus said, I have come to give life. Life in all its fullness. And we're going to experience God's joy and fullness. If we're going to experience God's joy and fullness, we're going to have to get rid of some of the things that compete in our lives. You know, there's things in our lives that compete for the enjoyment of life. Things like, for example, guilt, feeling guilty, like I was just saying. Maybe fear, as Elder Gary spoke about. Fear can destroy our lives, and that will compete against having joy. There's many things that compete into our life, and we need to get rid of them. We need to get rid of those things. And right now, there might be something in your life that is stopping you from having that joy because of maybe one of those things I just mentioned. Okay, we're going to learn now what the Bible says about how to encourage yourself. How to encourage yourself in God. What do you do when dark days confront you? Not if dark days confront you, but when they confront you. How do you stay encouraged when storms come your way? No one in the Bible is greater example of being able to encourage himself in God than David. When we read some of his psalms, we get amazed that David starts writing a song while he's discouraged. And he ends the same song encouraged. I'm sure many of you read that in the Bible. David learned how to see the light in dark days. And we're going to read now some of David's biography from a time when it was hard for him to love life. We're going to consider on a particular incident here when huge stress confronted David. Now, just let me set the stage for you here. David is running from his own king, Saul, who is envious of him, hunting him down to kill him. Saul is so angry with envy that he mistakenly thinks that David is trying to steal his throne. So he tries to kill David on several occasions. So David has to flee to the nation of the Philistines. I'm sure you're very familiar with this story. The Philistines were enemies of Israel, where he and his soldiers, they fight for the Philistines as mercenaries. But one day, the Philistines go to fight the Israelites. And so David and his army are sent home. When they arrived home, they find that the Amalekites have raided their town, burnt their homes to the ground, and taken their wives and children hostages. David and his men were already tired and hungry. They thought they were coming home to the welcome of their families. Now we see the Australian soldiers, when they come from Iraq, they come after 6 months, 12 months, sometimes 2 years. You see their family meeting them and hugging them and the children, and they're enjoying each other's company. Well, that wasn't the case for David. So instead of finding the welcome from their families, David and his soldiers, they come home to a shocking scene of emptiness. Shocking scene. So let's get the story now in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 4. 1 Samuel 30:4. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. Imagine the distress. These strong warriors These strong men were so overwhelmed by their sorrow that the Bible says that David and the men with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. Perhaps, maybe someone here had days like that, days when your heart ached so much that you wished you could disappear. But wait, though it doesn't seem possible, things get even worse for David. Doesn't seem like it's possible, is it, after what he found? So let's pick up the story in Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, but only the first part of verse 6. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. Now they're threatening to stone him. David was very, very distressed, you can imagine. For the men spoke of stoning him. Now these men look around at what's left of their homes. And as the smoke rises from the ashes, so does their hurt and anger. They need someone to punish. And they choose to take things out on their leader, which was David. Can you picture David's distress at this time? Now, this must have been one of the most difficult situations, where his own men speak of making him a scapegoat for their misery, and so they threaten to kill him. This was a very, very dark chapter in David's life, and I want you to know that you are not alone when you face feelings of desperation like that. This was rock bottom for David. It couldn't go any worse than that. He had nobody to turn to. His family wasn't there for him. His friends wanted to kill him. And I think most people would have thrown in the towel, don't you think, by now? But look what the second part of 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. This is very important. Look what the second part says. This is still verse 6. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Isn't that amazing? David found strength in the Lord his God at a time like this. This is one of the many reasons, I believe, that you've got to love the Word of God. If you don't read the Word of God, start reading it. This is why we've got to love being a child of God. You know, we're so blessed. Each one of you is so blessed that you have the Lord to turn to. You know, you could be facing many, many things in life, but you have the Lord to turn to. That's a blessing. How do you think people that don't know the Lord feel about this? Who do they turn to in time of distress like David was going through? David had the Lord to turn to. Who, people that don't know the Lord, who do they turn to? His family wasn't there for him. His friends wasn't there for him. If we're in that situation, we're blessed that we know our God and we can turn to him. Even in life's darkest days, there is hope. You don't have to believe the circumstances and what they look like. It doesn't matter how bad the circumstances may look like. We don't have to believe those circumstances. Instead, believe that God is going to work things out somehow. God always works things out somehow. The Bible tells us that David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord. But how did he do that? How can you do that? How do you become so strong when you're weak, when you're hungry, when you're tired? How do you encourage yourself in God when even your family and your friends aren't willing or able to encourage you, which is the situation David was in? How do you encourage yourself in God? You know, it's tough staying optimistic sometimes. Very tough. Perhaps you can identify with David like I can. God wants you to identify with David, not only in his sorrow. It's easy to identify with David in his sorrow. Not only in his sorrow, but also in his breakthrough. That's the most important thing, that you identify with David in his breakthrough. Here are some practical pointers from the story on how to encourage yourself in God. First of all, spend time with God. David is well known as a mighty man of warfare, isn't he? His legendary entry into armed combat takes place against a giant named Goliath, and I'm sure all of you know that. With a sling, David defeats the monster of a man in front of him. It was a huge victory. Everyone looked in disbelief. A little shepherd boy with a sling and one small stone felled this giant of a man. But don't miss the point of David's entire life. Before anything else, David was a worshiper. You know that? David was a worshiper. David didn't just get angry. Anyone else, I think, would have felt angry and want revenge. David didn't get angry in the situation. David paused. He paused to spend time with God. And the best thing we can do to pause in a situation like that, just pause and spend time with God. You will find this is the most important principle in all of your life. When things like that happen, just pause for a moment and spend that time with God. You will find that spending time with God is your first priority. If you are to stay encouraged in the middle of a storm, it's our first priority to do that. You need to spend time with God every day, because He made you, He created you to worship Him. He deserves your worship. He is worthy of your time. Don't make your struggles as the center of your life. God is to be the center of our life. We sing that song about Jesus being the center of our lives. And the second practical pointer for encouraging yourself in God is ask God for direction. Ask God for direction. After David spent time with God, listen to what he did next that brought encouragement into his life. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 8. And David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them?" "Pursue them," he answered. "You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue." David was asking God what to do. You know, in many situations, what do we do? Do we ask God what to do? Or we do our own thing? Or we go to someone and just do what they say? David was asking God what to do. David wasn't about to go off not having consulted with God. Instead, he was going to leave for battle, confidently knowing the will of God. Isn't that confidence, knowing the will of God? Knowing what you're going to do is the will of God. So first he spent time with God, didn't he? He spent time with God. Now he makes his plan by consulting God. We will be making a big mistake if we don't ask God for direction. We need to know what God wants us to do. In every situation, not what our human nature dictates. In everything. There's many times I found when I was in situations with my job especially, where I was about to leave and didn't consult God or anything, I was going to make a big mistake. And when I asked God about it, I felt very strongly not to do that. And I'm so glad now that God said not to do that. Because who knows where I would have been. So we need to be careful. Not what others say, but what God says is what's important. Look at where the Bible says our joy comes from. Let's just look at last scripture here in Psalms chapter 119, verse 143. That's Psalms 119, verse 143. "Trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands are my delight." Isn't that beautiful? This is David at his worst time. He says, "Trouble and distress have come upon me, We can't deny it. When trouble comes, we can't deny it. The trouble is there. And that's what David is admitting here. Yes, I'm in this, I got this problem. I'm in distress. But your commands are my delight. In other translation, it says, I find joy in your commands. Isn't that beautiful? I find joy in your commands. Our joy in times of trouble is going to come from the commands, of God. He has given us. We need to find out what God wants us to do and then do it. The key to staying encouraged in life is to walk with God and live according to God's instructions. When we don't do that, we will lose our joy. We will lose our happiness because then we rely on ourselves. We can't rely on ourselves. If we rely on ourselves, I know I made many, many mistakes in life relying on myself, but that doesn't work. And this is how some people, a lot of people get in trouble. You know, with family, friends, they get in so much trouble because they do it their own way. They think their way is the best way, but it's not. God's way is the best way. Always consult God about situation. Tell God about it, and He will speak to you. He will speak to you. He will speak to your heart, and He will tell you what's right, what to do, because you feel that peace in your heart. Yes, this comes from God. He may not talk to you in an audible voice, but He'll give you that peace in your heart once you consult Him. So don't hold back from God. Yes, we can go to pastors, we can go to elders, we can go to friends and get an advice. We can go to anyone for an advice. But the first advice we need is from God Himself. Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we do thank You, Lord God, this morning, Father. We thank You for Your word, Lord God. Father, it's a privilege to be able to speak Your word. And I pray this morning, Father, that, Lord, we will always seek You, Father, no matter how ugly the situation may seem, Lord, no matter how dark the storm might seem coming at us, Father. Lord, we are blessed that we have come to know You. And, Lord, we are blessed that You are ready to hear us and to answer our prayer. So, Father, I just pray, Lord. I just pray for each person here, Lord God, that they will have confidence this year, Lord God. And they'll start the year, Lord God, by starting to consult You, Father. Wherever they may be thinking about for this year, Lord God, they will consult You first, Father. They will seek You first for answers. So we pray for a blessing, Lord, upon each person who bless You and bless Your word, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.